Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. In their campaign strategy, the Democrats are targeting certain identity groups: white women for Harris, black women for Harris, Asians for Harris, and now there is evangelicals for Harris. You heard me right. Evangelicals for pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ, pro-Marxism, Kamala Harris. Evangelicals are considered the largest voting bloc in America. Pew Research says it's about 24% of the public, which is larger than any racial or social group in the country. And evangelicals overwhelmingly vote Republican. They tend to be one or two issue voters, pro-life, traditional marriage. So Democrats know if they are to win, they have to win over at least some evangelicals. Reverend Jim Ball, who started Evangelicals for Biden back in 2020, is now gearing up to repackage his organization into Evangelicals for Harris. He has a PhD in theology from Drew University. He is a global warming activist. He is the executive vice president for policy and climate change at the Evangelical Environmental Network, which has been working to get evangelical churches on the global warming bandwagon. Ball authored the book Global Warming and the Risen Lord, also Christian Discipleship and Climate Change. And he created the ad campaign, What Would Jesus Drive? So Jim Ball has bought into the whole man-made CO2 climate change myth, which tells us a whole lot about his discernment and his priorities. Ball, in his Zoom call launching Evangelicals for Harris, explained how he was instrumental in the Biden 2020 win by targeting evangelicals with ads criticizing Trump from an allegedly Christian point of view. He claims he was able to swing enough evangelical votes over to Biden, those marginal votes needed to give Biden wins in swing states. Well, this time he plans to spend over $1 million in internet ads and articles to dissuade evangelicals from voting for Trump. Here is Ball explaining his strategy.
Now, there's a lot of work that has to happen before we win. And so we all have to play our parts, but we are going to win. So, Mike, if you would please put up my first slide. So I wanted to give you a quick rundown on our success back in 2020. I actually founded Evangelicals for Biden back in 2019, and also then, of course, founded Evangelicals for Harris this year. But in 2020, we became the biggest independent evangelical grassroots campaign ever to support a Democratic presidential candidate. We were focused on some target states, Michigan and Georgia, and we provided strategic support by flipping Trump voters to Biden voters in those two states. Mike, next slide. So we mainly what we did was interact directly with our target audience through engaging them. Over 30 million of them through Google Ads, electronic means. We had nearly 5 million people click through our content, and over 80,000 were diverted from QAnon and Trump fundraising websites to our positive content. Next slide. So through those efforts in Michigan, again, we were trying to primarily flip Trump voters into Biden voters. And so through that process, as well as voters, evangelical voters who voted Democrat in the past, we netted 26%. That equals 350,000 votes in Michigan. And Biden-Harris won by 154,000 votes. In Georgia, we netted 16% for 245,000 votes. And Biden and Harris won by 12,670 votes. So our efforts in those two states were strategic and made the difference. Now, of course, all the other folks who voted helped make the difference there. But without our efforts, the Biden-Harris campaign would not have won in those two states. So we had about a month to do our campaign last time, and we've got much more time this time. So we're looking to really grow our effort and make an even bigger difference this time around. Mike, next slide. So right now we're at 200,000 and growing in terms of folks who've joined us and are ready to work with us, the Harris-Walz ticket. And again, just like in 2020, we're going to be speaking directly to our audience through Google and Facebook ads, through emails. We emailed 40 million in 2020. We're going to be doing more of that this time, through our website and our social media. We'll also, this time, something new, we're going to be organizing and activating our supporters through Zoom calls in the target states. And then another new thing we're going to be doing this year, we'll be running video ads on what's termed addressable TV, like Hulu, Apple, and YouTube. And addressable means you can target households. So this is a new feature. We're going to be spending about $1 million. Maybe even more. We'll see how it goes.
Jim Ball asked for donations. And when you donate to Evangelicals for Harris, it directs you to the premier Democrat fundraising organization, Act Blue. Evangelicals for Harris is a partisan pro-Democrat organization. Is it effective? Should we be concerned? Well, some of the arguments I've heard from Christians as to why they're not voting for Trump come right out of Jim Ball's playbook. Christians do hear these arguments on the internet. They see the ads. They hear the sound bites. So it does persuade some to, at the very least, not vote at all. And here's the approach. To claim that Harris has better character than Trump in regard to faith, integrity, and justice. All candidates are flawed, but Harris is the candidate that most reflects biblical Christianity. From the website, Why Evangelicals Support Harris, under the heading Upholding Christian Values. Quote, evangelicals don't have to change who they are. They just need to affirm who they are by voting for someone who better reflects Christian values. But here's the question. Which Christian values? And what is the hierarchy of those values? I've talked about this often, that leftists hold to values. Some values actually found in Scripture, love, compassion, charity. But the error of false teachers is always in inverting the hierarchy of God's values, where they put a woman's self-determination and freedom above the life of a child, where they put love above God's laws concerning sex and marriage. All false teachers have values, but they invert the hierarchy of God's values. I mean, the devil has love, but love for people who join him in his rebellion. So these leftist evangelicals for Harris have a worldview and a hierarchy of values that sees Kamala Harris as her values being better than Trump's. But what says the scripture? In Reverend Ball's 2.5-hour Zoom call to an audience of about 40,000, Jim Ball has about 20 left-leaning evangelicals present. One of the speakers in support of Harris was Billy Graham's granddaughter, Jerusha Duford. She said, quote, in 2016, when a man bragged about assaulting women, various leaders of my faith then propped up this man as a poster boy for godly manhood and leadership. Well, first of all, I don't know who she's listening to. But no evangelical that I know put forth Trump as an example of godly manhood. evangelicals just, you know, agreed with the Republican platform over Hillary Clinton's platform. You know, my guess is that Duford is exaggerating evangelical support for Trump as being so horrible because she doesn't agree with his policies. Anyway, she goes on. This broke my heart as I have watched, quite frankly, for the last 8 years, people who are curious about Jesus and his teachings do a 180 and walk in the other direction from my faith. So apparently she concludes that Christian support for Trump turns people away from Christianity, at least her version of Christianity. She went on to quote out of context, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 30, "For you will be like an oak whose leaf fades away, or as a garden that has no water." And for her, that describes Trump supporters. Quote, "These things happen slowly over time. First, people professing the Lord make excuses for Trump's lack of kindness, then for his name calling. Soon it was making excuses for assault. Then it became making excuses for January 6th, and now making excuses for convicted assault and 34 felons. The oak leaves don't wither overnight. I'm terrified to think of how far this turning of our heads the other way and making excuses will take our country, but more importantly, our witness to the world. Voting Kamala for me is so much greater than policies. It's a vote against another 4 years of faith leaders justifying the actions of a man who destroys the message of Jesus, the message he came to spread, and that's why I'm getting involved in politics," unquote. So the gist of her argument, and we've heard this often, is that Christians supporting Trump ruined the Christian witness. And that sounds reasonable until we learn that Jerusha Duford supports LGBTQ and supports leftist organizations that support homosexual marriage. She runs a counseling center in Greenville, South Carolina, and she affirms her clients LGBTQ. Her website clearly states that she's LGBTQ friendly. And such is the case for almost all of the presenters on the Evangelical for Harris call. They all object to Trump's character, his bluster, what they consider his lack of kindness. But really what they object to is the Republican conservative moral positions. You know, as in the news media, if Trump had a D for Democrat behind his name, and he supported Roe versus Wade and transgenderism, then all of Trump's bluster would be overlooked. They would put a spin on it. They would say he had a great sense of humor, or that he was a man of the people, because that's exactly what they did with Biden. Remember, a woman did come forth accusing Biden of molesting her. But evangelicals for Biden didn't talk about that. Instead, they claimed that Biden had a better character than Trump. So now, Evangelicals for Harris is really not about Trump's personality or his character, but the issues. The Democrat platform of pro-abortion, pro-LGBT, and pro-socialism. And I guarantee you that if a squeaky, clean Republican candidate like Ted Cruz or DeSantis were running for president this year, these evangelicals would still be voting for Harris. Matthew chapter 11. "But to what shall I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to the other children and say, 'We have played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds.'" So the real objection was not to the approach of John or Jesus, but they hated the call to repentance. And they found excuses to reject both the messenger and the message. Evangelicals for Harris is just another example of the leftism that has infiltrated evangelicalism, the Christian community, or rather an example of how second and third generations raised in evangelical churches who have never personally been born again will still hold on to the title and some of the culture of Christianity. And I'm serious about asserting that for the most part, these are not born again Christians. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, those who hold to a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Or Titus chapter 1, verse 16, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Jude 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness. The way you can always tell truth from error is by the clear didactic moral laws of God. Ultimately, the wolves will deny the moral law of God at some point. They talk of grace, but they turn grace into license. The speakers on the Zoom call all affirm salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, but that alone is not the test of orthodoxy, because false teachers will profess grace and mercy. But Jesus will say to them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Now, I understand how a Christian can be deceived for a short period of time. There were times in my life where I was impressed with and hence taken in by certain unbiblical Christian fads in the church. But it wasn't for long. My reading of scripture and biblical theology always brought me back to the truth and allowed me to discern the subtle differences between the true gospel and the false substitutes. What I see in these leaders and these speakers behind Evangelicals for Harris is an absence of Holy Spirit discernment. Evangelicals for Harris is Acts chapter 20, verse 29. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Jim Ball is working to draw away disciples to vote for Harris. Megan Basham, conservative Christian journalist, has published an earth-shaking book entitled Shepherds for Sale, How Evangelical Leaders Trade the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. And in this book, she documents the current apostasy in evangelicalism. She's basically explaining the people and the ideology behind Evangelicals for Harris. And because of the significance of this book, you know, as exposing and shaking up the evangelical community, next week I'm going to do a review of Shepherds for Sale. It's a real eye-opener. Leftist evangelicals don't want you to read that book. But here's just one example from the book to demonstrate where evangelicalism is at today. Christianity Today, the premier Christian magazine founded by Billy Graham back in 1956, between 2015 and 2022, the staff of Christianity Today, the journalists, the editors, the president, the board members made together 74 political donations. Every single one of them went to a Democrat. Not a single donation to a Republican. Why? Because they believe in the moral positions of the Democrat Party. Christianity Today has been taken over by leftists, and it's reflected in the articles which make excuses for abortion, for LGBTQ, for CRT, and Marxism. Christianity Today is woke. And Christianity Today is working to do the same thing as Evangelicals for Harris, to make converts to leftism, to a leftist form of Christianity, as if that's the right version of Christianity. And Christianity Today is actually well-named. It is Christianity Today. Now, in the remainder of this program, I want to answer the arguments put forth by Evangelicals for Harris. They're subtle. They're deceiving. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as the apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Now, what's alarming is that many conservative evangelicals don't know how to argue against the rationale behind Evangelicals for Harris, or rather, they miss the main error. Now, solid Christians certainly feel that something is not quite right, but have a hard time showing the error from Scripture, especially with Evangelicals for Harris using Scripture to selectively support their arguments. But their error is not some big secret. Don't imagine that the biblical response is complicated, as if it takes a seminary degree in theology or ancient languages to discern and expose the error. The error is actually nothing new. We've seen it many times before. We've seen it in the fundamentalism liberal controversy at the beginning of the 20th century. It's the same error in humanism, in wokeism, in Marxism, just repackaged with an evangelical face. Now, I could wait to the end of the program to explain the error, but here's the short of it for right now. For Evangelicals for Harris, biblical Christianity and orthodoxy is defined by the general concept of love, not by the moral injunctions given in Scripture. Love becomes the overriding ethic, and particularly love for people. Affirming people and their self-determination and their desires over affirming God's law. And it can position itself as Christian in that Christians are called to love one another. Even Gavin Newsom put up pro-abortion billboards in California, quoting Mark chapter 12, verse 31. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command than this. In other words, love your neighbor by supporting their abortion. Remember in the temptation of Christ, the devil quoted Scripture. These leftist evangelicals also believe that the gospel is all about the oppression narrative of cultural Marxism. And that's why they vote Democrat. They believe God is a God who loves all people and their actions. He would support their oppression, even those who feel oppressed by God's righteous requirements of personal accountability, responsibility, and natural law. For them, for leftist evangelicals, those values are not Christian. They're simply white nationalism that needs to be put down. These leftists, not understanding the gospel of repentance, emphasize that man is a victim, rather than the biblical doctrine that man is a sinner. Hence, they fall into the error of cultural Marxism, believing that the cultural Marxism oppression narrative is the gospel, is Christian, has Christian roots, when it's actually Satan's original argument against God, that God's laws and his requirements of personal accountability are oppression. What these leftist evangelicals are promoting is, in effect, the ideology of Baal worship. A belief in theism, a belief in God, but redefining God as one who puts loving and affirming people above his moral law. So that's the short of it. And the only way to overturn and refute the ideology of leftist Christianity is to expose and confront the core error. Here are some clips from Lisa Harper. Notice she begins by giving all of her evangelical credentials, but then notice her subtle deviation from the gospel. That what the Scripture has taught her is that people matter.
Thank you so much, Akemeni. I walked down the aisle at a Sunday evening camp church meeting on August 21st, 1983. It was about 9:30 p.m., at this campground in Cape May, New Jersey, when I gave my life to Jesus. And I was baptized in a stream on the side of a mountain at the Creation Music Festival while I was in high school. I was raised up in the faith by my local church and discipled in Young Life High School Ministry, Cruz Undergrad Ministry, and InterVarsity's Graduate Ministry, and eventually went on staff with InterVarsity for about 10 years. I am an evangelical. Through Young Life, I learned faith can be super fun. Through Cruz Here's Life Inner City Ministry, I learned God loves the poor and the marginalized. Through InterVarsity, I learned that I love the scripture. So here's what the scripture has taught me. People matter. All people matter. Because the image of God matters. Because the kingdom of God matters.
So I played that clip because I wanted to be a reminder that someone can be raised in the church and still miss the message of the gospel and instead see the gospel as merely therapeutic deism, up with people. And it's no side comment that her understanding of scripture is that people matter. The image of God matters. Because that's a common trope used by leftist theologians to support abortion and LGBTQ, that we must uphold the image of God in people, that people have a divine spark within, and therefore need their choices need to be affirmed. Here's another clip where an evangelical for Harris speaks of her foundation for ethics being love.
In the work that I do and how I write, truth and grace are the centerpiece. You see, grace is something that is a part of God's nature. It is the foundational understanding that God is love. Our love births grace. In 1 John 4:8, it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I look at which candidate is leading me to love the other. Which candidate is leading us towards compassion? Which candidate is leading us to walk out the Sermon on the Mount, which is the blueprint of love? This verse implies that God's actions, including the gift of grace, stem from his loving nature. Also look at this work as grace as a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 articulates that grace is a gift from God.
So she quotes 1 John 4:8, that God is love, and she asks which candidate is leading us to love, but she fails to define love biblically, and she fails to quote from John that the main mark of the Christian is the practice of righteousness. 1 John 3:10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. And then verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Those are pro-choice. So let's now break down into six categories the arguments coming out of Evangelicals for Harris. Again, it's rooted in a love for people, or rather a love for the world, over a love for God first. Assuming God loves people, that he just affirms them. Argument number one, the pluralism and the democracy argument. That Christians need to let unbelievers practice their lifestyle and their moral choices because that's American democracy. Quote, Christians should make room for positions and opinions that you may personally reject, but should have a hearing in a true democracy. And these presenters claim they affirm traditional marriage, but quote, we want a country big enough for those who don't affirm traditional marriage. Hence, Trump will dismantle democracy, and Project 2025 is a plot to erase diversity in America, and citizens will lose their rights. And this is the lie of pluralism, the lie that turns nations into Sodom and Gomorrah. as if governments are established by God to give people freedom to do their own thing. That governments are to have nothing to do with religion and never to declare for Christ or for God's law, but simply for man's law. Rather than the Romans 13 injunction that governments are established by God to punish evildoers and to uphold God's natural law, the natural law given to mankind in Genesis. The historic Christian position is not that democracy means we need to vote in favor of the sexual license of Sodom or the child sacrifice of Baal worship because we have to be fair to unbelievers. What's really going on here is that these leftist evangelicals take the pluralism position because they really don't support God's law. Argument number two, supporting Trump hurts the testimony of Christ. Quote, MAGA-style Christianity makes Christians look like racists, misogynists, authoritarian bullies. Quote, I worry about negative reputation. People view us as partisan. Well, my first answer is, so what? I don't expect the majority of people to love Christians or God's moral standards. Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. The wicked King Ahab called the prophet Elijah the troubler of Israel. The true prophets of God were outcasts. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death. They were destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. It's Hebrews chapter 11. So since when do we determine what is morally right and wrong by whether or not people are offended? Of course, we are going to lose our testimony, or rather our favor with the world, when we stand for God. These leftist evangelicals define testimony as favor with the world, rather than the real definition of testimony, communicating to the world the need for repentance. In this argument that we lose our testimony with Trump, these leftist evangelicals show that they are, again, operating on the wrong moral foundation. Now, these evangelicals for Harris went on to explain that it's actually Trump's meanness, bigotry, and recreational cruelty, but that's very subjective. And that's what the false prophets said about the true prophets in the Old Testament, that they were being mean, they were insulting, they were calling people stupid. And this argument is not really even an argument, because Harris and the Democrats have been just as mean, even more cruel toward Trump and the Republicans. Of course, the media doesn't comment on those comments. The Democrats are masters at name-calling. That Trump is a Hitler, that Trump is a felon, that Trump is a misogynist, that Trump doesn't care about people, only himself. We heard that time and time again at the Democrat National Convention. You see, the only people that make this argument that Trump is being mean are those who believe that the highest value is to be nice. And to make that argument in all sincerity, one has to believe in moral relativism. That there is no difference between good and evil. Because biblically, evil does need to be criticized and rebuked harshly. This argument is actually being made because the left doesn't like being called evil and being called stupid. When they do it, it's speaking truth to power. But when their opponents do it, it's being mean and cruel. And I don't believe Trump's bluster is hurting the testimony of Christians. Conservative evangelicals have done a great job communicating to the American people where Christians stand on the moral issues. Isaiah 59, cry aloud and show my people their transgressions. Actually, that's Isaiah 58. The American people know now that Christians are against LGBTQ, abortion, globalism, Marxism, the religion of global warming. And it's not a negative for the unsaved world to see Christians supporting the Republican Party, even supporting Trump with all of his faults, because Christians are putting moral issues first. And that's a good testimony. The real reason evangelicals for Harris think voting for Trump will be a bad testimony is because they don't believe in the biblical values espoused by conservative Christians. Otherwise, they would consider Christian support for the Republican candidate a great thing, a necessary thing, even despite Trump's faults. It's really about the policies, not the testimony. Argument number three, coming from Evangelicals for Harris, Kamala Harris has a better Christian character than Trump. On the Evangelicals for Harris website, they have her alleged Christian testimony, which is, quote, "The God I have always believed in is a loving God. It is this God in whom Kamala puts her trust." And as we discussed earlier, every false teacher and apostate believes in a loving God. So the presenters on the Zoom call claim, quote, "Kamala Harris has more fruit of the Spirit, and Trump is a bully who degrades the humanity of image bearers." One of the presenters on the call was a pastor who said Harris is a better person and then repeated the same points made at the DNC convention. Trump is an insurrectionist. He is a divider while Harris is a unifier. Trump has taken us backward. Harris has taken us forward. And we all know that argument is subjective. Who you think has a better character is based on which policies and values you believe are right. If you're pro-abortion and pro-LGBTQ, of course you believe Harris has a better Christian character. But besides all that, even the premise that Harris is a better person is questionable. Those who work for Trump testify that he's a very kind and generous person, while those who work for Harris describe her as a screaming, demeaning bully. People have quit Harris's staff because she's so abusive. But notice that because Evangelicals for Harris support her larger policies concerning LGBTQ and abortion, they have a blind eye toward her character flaws. You know, this argument that Harris has a better character than Trump is laughable. Harris got the job of being a California prosecuting attorney by being the mistress of Willie Brown, the mayor of San Francisco, a married man. Kamala is an immoral woman. Yet these supporters of Kamala conveniently overlook this as they call Trump immoral. The hypocrisy is unbelievable. Argument number four. Christians who support Trump view Donald Trump as the savior. And they want the power of politics. They're getting too political. Quote, "Trump is exploiting our faith, exploiting Christianity and evangelicalism, using the Christian vote to further his own ends." But wait a minute here. These are evangelicals who are lobbying for Harris. They have a whole organization so they can use the Christian vote to support Harris. And they're being political with their faith. And if Trump supporters just want power, what do Kamala Harris supporters want? They too want political power to push their ideology. But when Trump and his supporters and Republicans do this, they're wrong. They just want power. They think Trump is the savior. But when leftists do the exact same thing, it's right and of pure motives. Why? Because this is really not about the politicking, it's about the policies. Number five, the Republican Party no longer has moral superiority on the main issues in that Trump personally supports exceptions for abortion. And he has in the past tweeted out Happy Pride Month. So therefore, there's no moral difference between Harris and Trump. There's no moral difference between Democrats and Republicans. So vote for Harris because she's the nicer person. That is a false comparison because Harrison's platform is all about overriding the states, legalizing abortion to the moment of birth for all 50 states. She is for transgenderism, men and women's sports, for open borders. You know, this is just a clever way to muddy the waters to try to make a moral equivalency so that people will support the greater evil. Now, sure, there's Republican drift, but it's a drift toward the Democrat position. That's a whole lot different than the radical platform of the Democrats. The final argument I mentioned earlier, that Harris is all about affirming people. Again, Lisa Sharon Harper, you know, here's what the scripture has taught me. People matter because the image of God matters. And again, it's an inversion of values, putting people above the law of nature and nature's God. And in this, leftists and leftist evangelicals redefine pro-life. It's taken as a broad term for even those who help others in welfare. The left has redefined pro-life so they can call themselves pro-life even while they're murdering children. Listen to this one presenter.
As evangelicals, we should be leading the justice movement. This was what Jesus spent his entire life doing. But we are often silent. Ending gun violence is pro-life. Feeding children is pro-life. Ending war is pro-life. Ending student debt is pro-life. Strong public education is pro-life. Healthcare is pro-life. Libraries, open and free and well-funded libraries, is pro-life.
So supporting libraries with indecent LGBTQ material is pro-life. There you have it. Pro-life is redefined to support every leftist social program. It's really being pro-people. It's a game that's being played to justify immoral policy. Let me close with one very telling historic illustration that Megan Basham shares in her book, Shepherd for Sale. Frederick Engels, the co-author of the Communist Manifesto with Karl Marx, was raised in a Christian home, like most of these evangelicals for Harris. Engels' mother continually would write to her son, begging him to repent and turn from the false gospel of Marxism to the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of his life, Engels was asked who he disliked most in the world, and he didn't hesitate to answer Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the famous conservative pastor in London, who during his ministry spoke out continually against the false religion of Marxism. Spurgeon was even thrown out of his own denomination for being too controversial, too offensive, too conservative. And that's the legacy for all those who are true evangelicals, true followers of Christ. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.